Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says this: "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." That's our verse chosen from this beautiful passage of Scripture. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Amen. May God bless his word to us this morning. We had a wonderful time yesterday, an amazing time, I would say, yesterday at the men's breakfast. Is that all right? Is that right, men? It was really, really, really amazing. Thank you to Babs for sharing his heart. And quite a section of that involved feedback. And it just began to roll. It began to roll and it began to roll. And guys were just sharing. Women, you'd have been proud of them. You'd have been proud of them. There was an opening up. As never before, I would say, and that was wonderful, and it was natural. And guys, I pray that will continue, that we can share hearts with one another. A lot of it was about parenting as well, and thanks for the things that you shared with us, Babs. It was really, really important. And as part of his introduction, he said a scripture can be summarized into two simple things. And Jesus was asked, "What are the greatest commandments?" And his response was, "Love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind." Yep. And the second was, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And that summarized everything. And he launched off from there. And then the issue was, how do we do it? How do we live it? How do we live it? And so thank you, Babs, for that. It was really, really enlightening for each and every one of us. I just want to pick up a little bit from there, but also about the living aspect of living out what it is to be a Christian. Living it out. It says there, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Now, Paul, in that context, wherever you see "therefore," you have to look back at what came before that particular phrase. And what came before that particular phrase is found verses 7 onwards. Well, actually, it's the beginning of the chapter, but just for time's sake. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." We're talking about God taking on flesh. God became man and lived among us. Amen? "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's what came before this particular verse. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling." He shared with us some incredible truths there concerning Jesus. And as we head in towards Easter, We're remembering about the cross, remembering the cost and everything. He shared this wonderful truth, this descent from heaven, from glory. And then he takes on flesh and comes and lives among us, taking the very nature of a servant. He didn't even come as a king. He came as just a normal bloke and then a carpenter, a guy with a trade as he was raised up. But then that wasn't even enough about living amongst us. He then died for us. He died for us. So in other words, his descent from heaven down to earth, as it were, and then to the cross, to death and mocking by those he loved and those he had created, God our creator, paying the price for our sin, taking sin upon him, our sin, and paying the price. What a descent. What a descent. And having said all that theological stuff, Paul then says, continue now, in the light of that, to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. What Paul expects every believer to have is the same attitude as Jesus demonstrated. This whole thing is about attitude. It's about being like Jesus. And he was willing to let go of his glory in order to achieve the purpose and the plan of the Father. And for that we are ever, ever grateful. Forget the idea this morning that you can never achieve. Jesus achieved it. He achieved salvation. We are here today as a result of what he did 2,000 years ago. So forget the idea, and that is, despite losing all his glory, all his power, everything, he left that behind, and he still achieved salvation. So forget the idea of not being able to achieve. Because if the Bible says something as a command, then it's possible. We can love our enemies because the Bible teaches us, love your enemies. Now, what is the point of saying that if we can't achieve it? It just gets us down if we fail to do that. But the real truth is we can. Can I hear an amen? If it says, love your enemies, if it teaches that, then we can do it. We can do it. Not only ought we to do it, but we can achieve it with the right attitude. We can do it. We can overcome because the Bible teaches that we are overcomers. So if it says that, we can do it. Can I hear an amen? For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5:45. So the Bible says it, therefore it's possible. It's true. It's our reality. So you are an overcomer. If you know Jesus, you are an overcomer. And you will overcome. We can forgive because the Bible teaches forgive. How many times? Jesus was asked. 7 times 70. In other words, keep going. Keep going. Once may not be enough. You have to keep going. That, again, which speaks of attitude, to forgive. We can be free because the Bible teaches we are free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, don't be yoked, because the freedom to be an overcomer is yours. Galatians 5, verse 1. We can be faithful because the Bible teaches us to be faithful. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. You will wage war against the Lamb. This is another scripture, chapter 17, verse 14. But the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. That is a description of you. It's a description of me. We will make it. Say it to your neighbor. You will make it. We will make it. Yeah? Because this is not me trying to just boost you up. This is the word of God. And where God makes promises, we can do it. So we've got to be clear of this thing, say, I can't do it. You can. And friends, we can have joy. Because the Bible teaches us to be joyful. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord sometime. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you haven't heard the first time, he says, and again I say, rejoice. We can be joyful. And remember, when the Bible speaks about joy, it's not talking about being happy. You know, we're not Miss World. What do you want, Miss World? I want the world to be happy. Well, happiness comes and goes with moods, whatever mood you're in. That's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about joy. Joy is deeper. It means that irrespective of the circumstance or the surroundings, there is a deep well of contentment and peace within your soul because you're right with God. And so the storms may rage about you, but there's an inner peace that helps you, therefore, to handle what is going on. And that joy only comes through relationship with Jesus, being right with God. Because once you know you're right with God, I tell you, it makes the whole scene look different. And you're better able then to handle all the complexities that life throws at you. Our God is not a liar. And therefore these things are true, and therefore we need to stand by them. It says there, work out your salvation. Now, the Greek there, the Greek word, it means work fully, accomplish, finish, fashion. So when Jesus talks about working out our salvation, he's not talking about work for your salvation. Only a small word change, but it's totally wrong. Sometimes we think that. And therefore, yeah, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to work for my salvation. But is it about works to be saved? Is it about what we do for God to be saved? Will it help with the forgiveness of sins if we work? No, so work will never get you there at the end of the day. It's not about work for your salvation. It is work at your salvation. Bring it to its full completion. That's what it's talking about. So when you work a mine, for example, being from Leeds, obviously in the north we had a real... the mining was a huge part of the social life in the north. Whole communities built up around mining. And when they went down, they would dig and they would dig and they would dig and to get out of it the coal that we needed. There's mines in Africa, South Africa, other countries where it's gold. To dig out gold. And to dig out gold, they have to dig and strive and work at it to bring out the gold. And it's the same for us in our Christian life. When he says, work out your salvation, it's not that we are working for it, It's not the things we do, but we have to work in bringing it to its full completion. It takes effort to be a Christian at times, does it not? We have to work at it. Work out your salvation. Get out the full potential. We're responsible for our own lives in cooperation with God. Sadly, I can't make you a Christian. No bishop, no cardinal can make you a Christian. It is that one-to-one personal relationship with the living God and an acknowledgement that you're a sinner and that you need the forgiveness of God for your sins if you have any hope of heaven. It's by the work of Jesus. Hallelujah. The work has been done for you. We're coming up to Easter when we celebrate the fact that he's accomplished a great work. So it's not about working for it. It is working out our salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. I'll come to that in a moment to finish. But work is the opposite of being lazy. So let us not be lazy. Amen? Let's not be lazy Christians when it comes to taking for granted what God has done for us. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth, says Proverbs 10:4. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry, Proverbs 19:15. The sluggard, says Proverbs 26:15, buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. What a great description of laziness. Amen? I hope you're not lazy. Let's not put on laziness in our lives. Let's not work at being lazy. Let's work at our salvation to dig out the gold to perfect what God has for us, for you in your individual life, as well as in the corporate life of the body of Christ. And then it says, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. The word is phobos, which you can imagine have phobias. We all have phobias, things that cause us to fear. And I think, well, does that fit in with fear and trembling? Where's the fear and trembling in this? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, it has to be with God. Work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. And that is understanding that you can't do it without God. You can't get to what he wants in your life without him. And it's to have that respect and honor that keeps you fearing him, helps you to live it out. It helps you to work it out. Because there's times when his will crosses your will. And that's where you have to take up your cross. You have to take it up. And that's what fear and trembling is about. We're not to fear anything else in this world. The only thing we need to fear is him. But it's not a fear of hopelessness. It's a fear of love. And if we have that, it will strengthen us and help us to be able to work out our salvation. Because we will do what he says and not what we want to do. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then it finishes off with, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Friends, this morning, are you willing to let God have his way? Are you going to leave here and say, do you know what? I can. I can. Because God says I can. I can do it. I can do it. What was that list? I can love my enemy. I can overcome. I can forgive. I can be free from all the reasons why not. I can be faithful. And I can live a life of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can. Amen. You can. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, close your eyes just for a moment as we conclude. Because there might be some here saying, I can't come to you, Jesus. You don't know what I'm like. You don't know what my life's like. You don't know what I've gone through. And you're throwing out all the reasons as to why not. And you're throwing out all the reasons as to why you won't submit. You won't yield. But this morning, God says, you can. He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He only asks us to forgive because he's already forgiven us for our sin. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you, yield. No more arguments, just say, Jesus, I can. I can come to you. I want you to be Lord. If that is you, just give me a wave before I pray. That you say, Glenn, I want Jesus this morning. I want to come to you, Lord Jesus. No more excuses. If that's you, I'm just looking around. Just give me a wave. Then take your hand down. Thank you. Father, I thank you and praise you that you are the one who's not only commanded us to do things, but then you've also given us the strength to be able to do it, the gift of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are the one who's not only demanded that we be forgiven of sin and cleansed of sin, but you are the one who went to the cross and achieved it for us. That's how much you love us. And so we say thank you this morning, Lord. And in turn, as you've commanded us to work out our salvation, we thank you, Lord God, that you've not just left us to it, but you've empowered us, you've given us the gift of your Holy Spirit to enable us to say, yes, I can forgive. I can be faithful. I can be joyful. And so many other things. I can be loving. Lord, we thank you this morning as we look forward to Easter and we look at that cross and see love in action. We say thank you, Lord. Help me now to be able to say, I can. I can be an overcomer. I can forgive. I can be faithful. Because you have been the same towards me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well,